You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk
are go.
Over the weekend, a magnitude 6 earthquake struck eastern Afghanistan. The death toll has passed at least 1,400, with another 3,000 injured and 500,000 impacted. A strong aftershock, magnitude 5 earthquake, then struck the region on Tuesday. This comes as Afghanistan is struggling with a severe drought and a hunger crisis. I spoke to Associate Professor in Disaster Resilience at the University of Newcastle, Iftikhar Ahmed, about the earthquakes and the challenges with the disaster response. I started by asking if he could talk about the extent of the damage, including the death toll.
Well, the earthquake, the first earthquake, actually, there were two. There was one recently as well. The first one, which happened on Sunday, that devastated a large number of, villages close to the Pakistan border in northeastern Afghanistan and close to the city of Jalalabad. And already the count of deaths is over 1,400, and there are more people estimated to be trapped under rubble and not yet rescued. And so we'll still see the number rising, and more than 3,000 people injured. That's still rough figures. Now, in the meantime, there's been another earthquake just on Tuesday. And that was also, and they haven't managed to get any stats from that as such, because people were still working frantically to do the recovery work, the rescue and relief at this stage, really not recovery, rescue and relief stage at this work for the first earthquake. And this struck a slightly different area, the same region, but in a different area. So it's in these areas, as you may know, are very hard to reach. They're very remote, and many of the roads have been blocked by landslides caused by the earthquakes. So the second earthquake, we don't know. So we can imagine that at the end of the enumeration, if there's good estimate, it'd be close to 3,000 to 4,000 people dead, if not more. So it is actually a very large number of people lost. They haven't done any enumeration of the number of houses that's been damaged. And the main item that has been impacted is housing, really, and buildings, of course. But there in these remote areas, housing is the main form of building. They have some community buildings like schools and health clinics and stuff, but they're very scant.
So why is there such a high death toll and so many destroyed buildings?
Yes, that's actually a very central question. Most of the deaths happened because people got killed by collapsing buildings. And I again quote a widely quoted phrase, disasters or earthquakes don't kill people, buildings kill people. And that is what has happened in this case. Many of these buildings in that region, they are built with local materials like mud and stone. People don't have the access or affordability to build with manufactured modern building materials using professional standards and professional expertise. So there they go. And so these are built with the traditional knowledge and using local materials, and many of them are not built to the purpose. Now, if I may be get a bit technical, is that many of these buildings, or most of these buildings, are built in a what we call a monolithic form of construction. That is, without any reinforcement inside them, they are just like blocks of mud bricks or stones laid on top of each other with minimal mortar joints. So that is why they just collapse. And the roofing is normally made out of unprocessed, raw lumber, as we call it, and that and covered with mud again, and mostly mud and stone. So that can easily collapse in shaking. So these buildings are not actually fit for earthquake, and this is what has killed a large number of people. So again, the earthquake didn't kill people, the buildings did.
Afghanistan is in a very earthquake-prone region, but how does their disaster resilience compare to their neighbours?
Very poor, I would say that, simply because This earthquake is not an isolated event. There have been the whole region is seismically active. They have been having earthquakes. There was one in 2023, and there was one in 2022. Both had very large human death tolls and injuries and loss of homes and all that. So, which what we are seeing playing out again over and over. And this has been going on for a long time. And every time there's an earthquake, people go back and build in the same way. And again, they suffer. And they may have also noticed that around them, these even if they haven't been impacted by an earthquake, they know that in the surrounding villages, this is what happened. And that's because the buildings collapsed. But of course, they don't have the support, the institutional support to be able to build differently. If you look at countries in the region, say Pakistan, India, Nepal, some of these local countries which also have earthquakes from the same Hindu Kush and Himalaya belt, the two Eurasian and Asian plate tectonic plates colliding and causing these seismicity. So, but in these countries, you see that there are some guidelines, there's some effort to introduce earthquake resistant construction, especially after disasters. In cities in India, like Ahmedabad, in Bhuj, for example, they have implemented that kind of construction. In Pakistan, after the 2005 earthquake, led by ERRA, Earthquake Rehabilitation and Reconstruction Authority. In Nepal, after the 2015 earthquakes, the government took on board a very strong implementation of the building codes with some allowance for the rule of thumb. And so on. So you see, like, all kinds of things are happening in local, regional, in the region, in countries nearby with similar socioeconomic conditions. So it is not impossible for Afghanistan to follow these guidelines, but they have not been doing it. And I would blame this on the lack of leadership and lack of institutional support. Most of these initiatives that I mentioned need strong leadership support. They are community-based efforts. These are efforts that the community can understand and implement themselves, but they have to be driven by people who have the expertise and the knowledge to be able to support them to implement some of these ideas, which is somehow not happening in Afghanistan. And we can just hope that with this recovery process after this tragic earthquake, some of these lessons from other countries will be brought in and implemented.
Given the drop in aid to Afghanistan following the Taliban takeover a few years ago, will they have anywhere near the resources they need to rebuild?
Most likely not. The international funding, the donor funding supply has kind of dwindled, especially after the United States closed their funding agency, USAID, for example. And also other governments, they are strapped for resources because of many demands for international donor funding, for because of the wars in Israel and Gaza and in Ukraine. So a lot of the money is being spent on these conflicts in different parts of the world. And so for these kind of disasters, there's limited amount of money. And Afghanistan actually needs a lot of money. It's not just going and building homes. It's to get that right infrastructure in place, get the community infrastructure in place, building up safe refuges so that if there's another earthquake, people can get protection. So there's a whole gamut of things that need to be done, but they certainly won't have a fraction of that amount of money required to be able to do that kind of recovery.
Are there calls for other countries to send more aid and support for earthquake relief?
Yes, there are. But if you are following the news, you see that certain countries want to target the money. Certain countries, like the UK, for example, want to target the money so where it's needed, not giving it to the Taliban and then spend it on something else. And what is needed out there is also the people who are the most vulnerable, particularly the women and the children. The large number of deaths in Afghanistan after these two earthquakes have been women and kids. So that is where the money needs to go to give them that kind of support. But whether the Taliban would do that, that's questionable. So many of these governments, they want to target that aid and see that it reaches the right people. And that might create some kind of dilemmas and conflicts. So we don't know yet how that'll play out.
How concerned are you about Afghanistan's disaster resilience moving forward?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, it needs good leadership, good governance, the knowledge and the technology and the technical expertise, that is all known already. They have been tried and tested in other countries in the region. And what I was saying about many of these countries adopting, it's not like, you know, you're going to get a 100% earthquake-proof nation. But what you will be able to do is to reduce the kind of fatality numbers that we are seeing, the huge numbers of people who are dying, and implement a certain level of safety. But that is what is desirable. But even to do that, it would need that kind of institutional and governance support, which is at the moment lacking in Afghanistan.
That was Associate Professor in Disaster Resilience at the University of Newcastle, Iftikhar Ahmed, on the recent earthquakes in Afghanistan and the challenges of the disaster response.
International Desk on 95 BFM.
You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.